Steve Correa, it will be a great week for the Correa family, a great weekend in Toronto as Paul goes into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Well-deserved, arguably the best BC player that we have seen. And, of course, all the stories about concussions. There'll be a great story on Paul during Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday. But now it is time to talk about Steve and the career that he had. So with that being said, we welcome him to On Point. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good, thanks.
We were just talking earlier, and you'll have to confirm, some of us who are a little bit older going, geez, didn't Steve Correa debut on the Saturday night Hockey Night in Canada and score in his NHL debut? Are we correct with that?
Oh, God, I've no recollection. I don't remember that. Possibly. You'd have to go back and do
you
the
don't.
Homework. I don't remember that.
Okay, you don't know when you scored your first NHL goal as a Canuck?
I remember it was against Montreal, but I don't remember the day. I remember the goal, but I don't remember the day and whether it was on Hockey Night in Canada.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I would have probably framed that picture.
I think I'd have
that game on DVD and watch it once a week at least. You played 3.5 years in the Canucks organization. What did it mean for you to play in your hometown?
Well, looking back, it was a tremendous honor, and obviously just to make it to the NHL, and even more so to play in your hometown, and of course would have loved to play some more games, but all in all, I was very happy with the experience, and memories to last a lifetime for sure.
Do you, your hockey career, took you over to Europe as well. Do you watch the game now, Steve, and think you really would have fit in better to the way the game is playing now? Because you were in that tough era where it was maybe a little bit more about bigger bodies, and it just proved how good you were with your skating ability and not to get hit and play. Do you think you'd excel in it right now?
Well, hopefully. Certainly the game's changed, and I think for the better with the, I think there's a lot more speed and skill involved and less clutching and grabbing. And, it would have been interesting, but, you're dealt the hand you're dealt, and I did the best I could. And, there's always been small players in the game, even back in the era I played in and before. And I think what's happening now is teams seem to be more open to having small players, not only forwards but defensemen. And I think it's good for the game. I think the fans want to see the skill, and certainly there are a lot of great small players out there in the game today.
You played on a Canucks team that was very skilled in its own right under Mark Crawford. Who was that one player that you were kind of amazed by in practice? Was there one player that really stood out to you as far as skill?
I guess I would have to say Alex McGillney for sure in that regard. He put a ton of time in as a kid, but he just seemed so naturally gifted to me, and just effortless. And he's won a Stanley Cup and had international success and individual success, and just a tremendous career. But I think certainly from a skill standpoint, he was the best that I was able to play with in the Canucks organization.
You start in the BC Hockey League with Nanaimo. You put up crazy numbers, and then your numbers in Maine were great too. Was hockey, and I know the career work ethic is fantastic, was it easy for you? Was it natural for you, Steve?
I would actually say no. You referred to my career junior onward. Prior to that, from the time I started playing hockey till about 13, I was, mostly on the B teams or the house teams.
And really?
I remember when I was 13, I quit hockey for a year to focus on soccer. So I would say up until then, I would say no, hockey did not come easy to me. I was a much better soccer and lacrosse player, and those are the sports I focused on. And I ended up coming back to hockey, I think, simply because, my friends obviously were involved, and I moved back to the North Van Rec Center. And even when I came back, as I believe that was a second-year peewee or something, and I think it probably took a year or two before I, became like one of the better players at the Bantam level. So it was definitely a slow progression, and it's funny how things work out looking back, but I think I learned some tough lessons growing up, and you know, as I got older and stuff, the game started coming a bit easier, and I was able to, you know, progress and move on to junior and beyond.
Well, Steve, that's interesting because, you know, the world has changed with so many hockey academies now. And I think it, you know, at a young age, kids are not being forced, but they're all of a sudden picked for these high level teams. What advice would you give someone who has a 12 or 13 year old who doesn't want to play anymore, but maybe has the ability? Is it, was it left on you and your family to go, well, if you don't want to play, that's fine?
Yeah, I mean, my parents were great that way. I, you know, we were never forced to do anything. I think, you know, my parents had one rule was, you know, if you start something, you have to finish it. And when I came to them saying I didn't want to play hockey anymore, they said that's fine. And when I came and said I wanted to try it again, and they said that's fine too. I mean, it was totally up to me, and I think that's how it should be. At the end of the day, you know, if the kid doesn't want to play the sport or doesn't have the passion for it, and then it's probably not going to end up well. And you know, drive always comes from inside out, not outside in. And I think yeah, like my advice would be, if you're passionate about it and love to play it, and go for it. And I'm sure it was back in the day as well, but too often I think you hear of stories of parents maybe, you know, forcing or pushing their kids to play a certain sport or to play more of it. You see nowadays, I mean, these kids are almost on professional schedules, you know, as early, like you say, you know, as 11 and 12 year olds. I mean, they're, whether it's hockey or soccer or lacrosse, I mean, it seems like they're playing that one particular sport, you know, 5-6 days a week. And I don't know, looking back at my life and certainly how my parents did, I mean, we played every sport we could play, and it was about, you know, having diversity and learning lots of different things. And I think in the end that helped make not only myself, I'm sure my other brothers will say the same thing. It helped us become better hockey players by you know, playing basketball or soccer or lacrosse or, you know, going to do swimming, etc. And I think if I had to give advice, I would you know, advise towards diversity rather than specializing in this day and age. You know, I think it's just better for the kid's body and mental well-being as well.
Well said. We are talking to Steve Kariya. He's on point with Perry Silkowski and Randeep Janda.
Steve, after 4 years in the AHL and the NHL, you made the move to Europe and played in Sweden and Finland. How was that experience for you?
I loved it over there. You know, obviously the goal of every hockey player is to play in the NHL, and I was able to achieve that. And like I said, would have loved to play more. But at the same time, I think looking back, you know, with no disrespect to the American Hockey League, I think I definitely enjoyed the hockey and the lifestyle more so over in the top European leagues. Maybe it fit my game a bit better with the skill and the bigger sheets and whatnot. But the fans were great over there. The experience, just living in a foreign culture, and I wasn't very successful picking up another language, but you know, just you know, like I said, being in another country and getting to meet some great people, it was a fantastic experience. And you know, I've always, you know, for some hockey players, if it doesn't work out over in North America with the NHL, I've always, you know, spoken very highly of going over to Europe and play for sure.
So the Kariya name is well known in the hockey world because of you and your brothers, but in Finland specifically, you and your brother Martin are known because you guys are the only two brothers to win the Veli-Pekka Ketola trophy, which is the leading scorers in Finnish hockey, the only brothers to ever do it. Is that something special to you now that you look back at your career?
Yeah, for sure. I think the year I did it was the lockout year. Was that 2004-05? Obviously, it was a tremendous league that year. I got I was lucky enough to play with Patrick Steffen, the former first overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
And we had several NHLers on our team, and I mean, every team had at least you know, a handful of NHL guys. And it was very good hockey, and you know, obviously very fortunate to win that trophy. And then I ended up leaving Finland, and my brother came in to my former team in Espoo and did the same thing, and obviously very proud of him. In some ways, like me, I mean, he had a bit of a late start, and he didn't. I think he played a couple years in the American Hockey League, but he really battled to make a career out of hockey. He had to start his European career over in Japan and Norway, and he got a break with the Canadian national team. I think that was actually I was there. I think it was in the Slovakian tournament. I forget the name of it, but. And then he got a job in the Finnish league, and his career took off after that, getting to play in the KHL and in Switzerland. And so he ended up having a very good career over there, and certainly very proud of his accomplishments as well.
The last name, help, hurt, or make no difference, because all Korea hockey players have to do it on their own.
Well, like I said, a name's a name. I've always... believe that having Paul as my older brother, I mean, not many kids get to have a role model like that, to grow up and learn from, and to see him work as hard as he did and have the passion for the game as much as he did. Like I said, very fortunate, and I don't know if I would have had my career without, like I said, being able to learn from him and see what he did on a day-to-day basis. And I'm pretty sure my younger brother would say the same. So.
Well, and Steve Alex Alt told us, hey, ask him about the Manitoba Moose when we couldn't afford to have the fancy sticks, yet Steve was going around with the Synergy Easton sticks.
Yeah, the Rock and the Easton.
Paul was signed by him. Is there truth to that story?
Well, I don't recall what the situation was for my teammates. I assume, it's professional hockey, so I have to assume that they also have the ability to get top sticks.
I don't think so.
I could be wrong with that, but aside from that, I remember certainly prior to that, it was certainly a big help when Paul turned pro, and I was still Martin and I were still in minor hockey, and I think more so for my parents, because we were able to get some sticks that probably we weren't able to afford otherwise. So I think the true beneficiary of that might have been my parents when we were younger to not have to pay for some equipment there, but I don't recall that. But
well, yeah. See, you don't know what you have, right? Maybe those the teammates were quietly sticking. Oh, look what he has! It's a big weekend. Are you going down to Toronto? Paul, of course, gets inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the whole family is leaving, and obviously we're really really excited for him, and tremendous honor, and. I think well deserved, in my opinion, and like I said, he's had an outstanding career, and we're all looking forward to the events this weekend.
I was fortunate to meet Paul when he still played in Penticton, and then through the years as a brother, and it's nice that we will have a feature on him on Sportsnet this weekend. We saw another feature on him because he's been quiet. Has he changed for you through the concussions? Do you notice as a brother sometimes in conversation, or is everything still the same?
Well, I think obviously if you play this game long enough, any contact sport, I mean, concussions are going to happen, and I'm sure most players will acknowledge that they've happened to them. I think the big thing now is he's really happy with where he's at in his life, and content and enjoying himself, and only time will tell with the damage and whatnot and what happens in the future. But I think the important thing is he's doing well, and after he retired, he got a lot of treatment, and I think he's in a good space, and I think his personality, and it's been the same through, and obviously, at different points of his career, after some of these hits, for sure, you could tell there was a difference, and like I said, it is what it is, and the good thing, like I said, is he's in a good spot and doing well right now.
Paul has chosen to kind of step away from the sport of hockey. How are you still connected to the game at this point?
No, I'm basically back to the retired life. I have done some jobs here. I coached actually Travis Green hired me to coach to be an assistant with Portland when Mike Johnson got retired. I think that was 12-13 season. That was a great experience for me. Obviously, we were fortunate to win the WHL title, and we came up lost in the finals to Halifax. But it was a great experience, and for me, being a college guy, it was a great chance for me to see the other side of the coin, so to speak, and to see what life was like in the WHL. And I did a little work for Mike Johnson the following year in the playoffs, and Portland's a fantastic organization, and has obviously produced a lot of players and really done well the last several years. And after that, I scouted for New Jersey for a couple years. I left the team last summer, but again, you know, getting you know, hired by Lou Lamoriello and David Conte, and getting I was obviously in that organization as a player, traded from Vancouver. I always admired what they did and liked their philosophies, and yeah, it was a great experience to learn from them. And obviously, we had the management change halfway through my tenure there, and likewise, it was a great experience to learn from Ray Shiro and Paul Castron as well.
So Travis Green is doing a great job so far in Vancouver in terms of tapping into players and getting them in the right roles. Are you surprised by this? How do you think he's been doing?
No, I'm not surprised at all. I thought that was a fantastic hire by the Canucks. I've known Travis for quite some time now, certainly over a decade. And when I got hired by him and went down to Portland, I quickly saw just how good of a coach he was. And he's a very intelligent guy, and I think probably his biggest strength, and I think what you're seeing now is that you know, there, you know, everyone has their X's and O's, and I think to coach at that level, you know, it's you know, everyone has that. But I think what one of Travis's best attributes is just how he deals with the players, and there's a lot of psychology that goes into being a coach, and I just think how he relates with everyone and how he deals with everyone. I was really impressed working with him, and like I said, I'm not surprised that the team's performing well, and I would say a lot of people would say overachieving, and he's going to do a good job there for sure this year and year for years to come.
Steve, it's been wonderful to catch up. I hope your family has a fantastic time in Toronto. Please pass on our congratulations to Paul. It's the last name, but you have carried it just as well in class and discipline and admiring what you put into the sport, and continued success as you move forward. And it's been wonderful to catch up. Thanks for this, Steve.
Okay, thanks for having me on, guys, and have a good day.
All right, Steve. Thanks so much.
Best. Thanks.